Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Yeah, it is frustrating. We did battle back. We put ourselves in a bit of a hole, but we battled back, and it's terrible that it comes down to a play like that. But that's the game. You know, officials are part of the game, and sometimes they go your way, and sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they go your way and sometimes they don't. And last night, they don't. Welcome into the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning as we welcome in Judd Surratt and Bob Beers to the Town Fair Tire Studios as they get ready to head out to Tampa for Game 5 coming up tomorrow afternoon and a must-win game for the Bruins tomorrow, 3 o'clock face-off, of course, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Good morning there, guys.
Morning.
It's a great morning, Ryan.
Judd, I think we need to get it right off the bat here. Don't lick Sarge. Judd came in here and tried to lick Sarge.
I'm in between the two of them.
That's good. Here's to break it up.
Where to start? There's a lot to digest, as I said during the last hour coming out of that game last night in the series as a whole. As I said, I don't want to put everything on the officials, but that call decides the game last night. Ultimately, it doesn't win the game for the Lightning. They still had to score in overtime, but the game, I don't think, ever should have gotten to overtime. And I just don't know how this keeps happening, because you can point back to game two in this series and say the game could very well have swung on a non-call in that series or in that game too. And so not only could this series be 2-2, but you could make the argument that it could even be 3-1 Bruins. Not that I think that they've necessarily been the better team through four games, but it could very well have be the 3-1 the other way right now.
Yeah, coulda, woulda, shoulda. they blew it. I mean, there's no other way around it. You know, what happens as a result of it? Who knows? We don't know. We'll never know. And the same thing with game two. But you can, if you're on the losing end of games, these calls, these non-calls get magnified so much more. Tampa's not even thinking about it right now. Right, of course they're not. And if the Bruins had won last night, let's say the situation was flipped. I mean, we wouldn't be talking about that right now, right? We'd be talking about being up 3-1 and how they got there and everything. So they blew it. It's just there's no other way around it. I don't know how you miss it. First of all, because it's not like it's away from the play. It's not like it's something that's a gray area. It's blatant. You take the free hand off your stick and you reach around a guy's arm while he has the puck. It's a penalty.
That gets a call every time.
Every game of the season, doesn't matter what period it is, doesn't matter what the situation is, it's a penalty. There's just no other way around it. I know that it's going to be a huge topic here this morning, and I don't know what else to say about it. They blew it. And it's not the first time, but when you're on the losing end, it gets magnified that much more.
The league for years will send out video of what certain calls are. This is what you need to look at. That was a textbook penalty right there. And normally we say it's a fast game, they have a hard job. But as Bob touched on, the play's right in front of you. It's just two guys. It's not a morass of players that you have to look through to try and decipher what exactly is happening. They got it. They made the wrong decision. It made a clear impact on the game. I think in the bigger picture, and we're talking across the first four games, the Bruins have not put themselves in a great position. Three of the four first periods, Tampa has been the better team. Rick Nash opened the scoring in game one. You ended up winning that game. As Bob and I talked about in the pregame show, across you know, when you're playing these games, it is a game of mistakes. I think the Bruins, whether they're forced or unforced, have probably made more than the Lightning have across the four games. Tampa has capitalized. They have a 3-1 lead.
You know, one of the things that I, going into last night's game, and if you look back over the series as a whole, I mean, the Bruins had had 5 power play chances in the first 3 games. Now, that's not all on the officials.
No. It,
because, especially in games 2 and 3, and definitely in game 3, I felt like the Bruins weren't doing the work that gets you those penalties.
You didn't have the puck enough.
If you are pushing, if you are putting pressure on, if you are, you know, outworking the other team, they're going to take penalties and the officials are going to call them. Last night, after they got down 2-0, the Bruins, they got into that mode where they were doing the work and they were drawing penalties because of it. They were, you know, getting zone time. They were getting the puck deep. They were, you know, grinding it out in the corners, and they were getting the power plays, and they were cashing in on the power play opportunities. That's such a big part of what they've had to do to be successful in this series, and that's what made the non-call in the third period doubly frustrating. Is that's a call that, you know, as Bob said, it's a no-brainer. Guy takes his hand off his stick and uses the open hand to grab you. That's a holding call 100% of the time. It gets called every game in this league. The moment you take your hand off the stick, the official's radar is up.
Well, the first call, I thought it was interesting. So Bruce Cassidy, after the game, the first call that he referenced wasn't that one. It was the Achari penalty.
Yeah.
And I think it was for the exact same thing that we're talking about with the non-call on Nikita Kucherov. The league sends out a video. Okay, this is what's allowed. If you want to check, you got to go under the stick. You have to be away from the hands. Nola Cherry does that. Victor Hedman sells it. But what is so frustrating to the coaches and the players is this is what you're sending out as what is acceptable play. This is how you have to play the game. The Bruins do in that instance, but they get flagged for it.
Yeah, and he set the and Hedman set the standard of, okay, you know, I'm going to embellish, because I thought Chara did as well.
Oh, there's
the
no question Chara did.
With Tyler Johnson.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know, you're going to do it. Okay, I guess we got to do it. I mean, if this is what needs to be done in order to get a call, then okay, we got to do it. I mean, come on, Victor Hedman.
he's a little stronger on his skates,
the ice,
yeah.
You know. Nola Chara lifted his stick, and it kind of got wedged in his leg a little bit. He felt it, and he kind of flopped. Or, you know, he didn't fall down or anything, but he embellished it. I mean, anybody that knows anything about the game knows that. I mean, it's that you don't have to be. It's not a fan one way or another. If you're objective and you look at it, you know he embellished, and so did Chara. So, all right, tick for tack, there you go. But it, I mean, it's a different play to me. You know what happened with Achari and what happened with Kucherov on McAvoy. I mean, you know, you're lifting a stick. It's bad call. Period. We know that. And just a worse call, a worse non-call with Kucherov. I'm at a loss for words on how you don't blow it dead. As soon as you see the free hand grab come off your stick and reach around, even if he pulled back, we've seen it called before. Like, okay, he's gonna grab him, penalty.
Yep.
You know, it's a penalty. It's unbelievable that two referees don't call that. One specifically who's closer to it. Maybe he's, even if you're behind the play, you see the free hand reach around. It's like, it's just unbelievable that you don't call it. McAvoy does everything right there. He gets the net. He uses the net as a screen. You know, you're taught that when you have the puck, if you got a guy chasing you, you turn tight to the net so that guy chasing you, if he's reaching in with the stick hand, which Kucherov was, yeah, he can't get to you there because you're using the net to shield you. He does it. He uses the net nicely there. He turns up like he's going to turn up the ice. He gets grabbed on his outside shoulder. It throws him off. The puck leaves his stick because he got grabbed on his. So, you know, he's a right-hand shot. He's coming around the net. You know, it's his top hand shoulder that gets grabbed. So this is, you know, you lose control of the puck. Now he dives to try to push it away so that it doesn't go into Tampa's hands over on the boards. And it's in the back of the net. But it's just, I mean, what else can I say? There's nothing else to say. They blew it. And I don't know if they win or not. Who knows? You know, but a 3-2 lead.
A 3-2 lead with a power play with 7 minutes to go.
With 7 minutes to go. I'm pretty confident in the Bruins' ability to close the game out.
Yeah. I mean, you could end it right there. Right? A power play goal ends the game right there.
Exactly. You know, and it's just, I hate blaming the ref. I don't want to blame the referees. I hate blaming the referees. And you sound like just whiners if you lose a game and you're blaming the referees. You really do. But that call is just, there's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for the non-call.
And again, it gets magnified because it leads directly to a goal
and
that ties the game and you lose an overtime.
And that's typically what will also merit the call. I mean, if this happens out in the neutral zone and doesn't involve a scoring chance, maybe the officials look the other way. Maybe. But because it results on a glorious grade-A chance, typically that will draw a reaction immediately from the referee.
Yep.
It didn't.
Yeah. Because we've seen that many times where the arm doesn't go up immediately and then realize...
Oh, there's a little delay.
Well, I mean, it happened...
The crowd calls it.
It
happened
a couple weeks ago with the Bruins. Remember, there was a breakaway coming and all of a sudden it was like, oh, well, you know, maybe we need to call that because, you know, it's going to lead to a 2-on-0 going the other way.
I actually thought that was going to take place last night when I saw the referee motion with his arm. He made it a motion to point toward the goal, which meant, all right, we've got a good goal, rather than raise his arm straight in the air. But when he originally started to make that gesture, I'm like, okay, maybe he's going to figure this out in the end, and didn't.
So that's where we start this morning. There's a lot more to get to out of that game last night. Obviously, we'll talk about the lines that Bruce Cassidy put together. We'll talk about the injury to Torrey Krug last night. And really the series as a whole as it has developed. And we'll get to your calls coming up at 617-779-0985. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey.
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 The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Press the right pad, Sam. Let's go!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Going through last night's Bruins 4-3 overtime loss to Tampa Bay, and we'll look forward to Game 5 tomorrow in a must-win situation the rest of the way here for the Bruins. Let's get to some of your calls here to get us started. Cameron, you're up first here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Sorry, Bob. Maria called in the last hour. She couldn't wait this morning.
Gotcha.
So I'm sure she's still listening, though. Go ahead, Cameron.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say Torrey Krug's injury last night was really ugly if you watch the replay. If you know anything about those pro hockey skates, they're solid plastic, and it just crumpled like a paper bag. And that, I think, really sucked the wind out of the team, and it was just really tough loss overall, guys. Good show. Thanks. Bye.
I appreciate the call.
No, ugly. It didn't look good. That is such an awkward way to go into the boards. There's nothing he can do. You know, he kind of loses his balance. He goes, he does the splits on the way into the boards. The left skate, the left foot, you know, crumples. I mean, that's got ankle written all over it. I can't believe he got up and made a great pass to get out of the zone and then got to the bench.
Incredible.
It goes a long way when a guy like that, and I don't know what the extent of the injury is, but it's not good. And, you know, when a guy lays there on the ice and has to have the trainer come out and there's nothing wrong with him, you know, it just kind of, it gives you a little, you know, perspective there on, you know, a guy and his, you know, his makeup. You know, a Gregory Campbell type, you know, that type of thing where you break a leg and finish a shift. I don't know what the extent of it is, obviously, and it just didn't look good. And, you know, I had someone say to me on my way into the garden yesterday, you know, Torrey Krug's passes are off. He's got to get better. You know, everybody's passionate, right?
Sure.
Torrey Krug leads the NHL in points by defenseman right now. That's a massive loss. That's a massive loss. And, you know, there's areas of his game where you say, all right, he could be a little bit better here and there, sure. But, you know, if you got that, now you got a Norris Trophy candidate, you know, right? And, right? He's a good offensive defenseman, and he battles his, you know, he battles every game, and he might make a couple mistakes here and there, but he battles every game, and he gives you everything he's got. That's a mass, that's a huge loss for the Bruins. I mean, you pick up a guy like Nick Holden for depth at the deadline, but replacing Torey Krug's a big hole.
So you're missing two guys essentially out of your top six as you head in, because Brandon Carlo obviously was injured before the playoffs started.
And we don't know if he's out or not, but I'm just guessing.
The assumption is, looking at the replay last night, I don't know how he's not out.
It looked like his ankle buckled at that point. One of the big themes of this series has been, how do you break through Tampa's forecheck, and now you're going to miss one of your best puck movers on the back end that's going to make it hard.
Well, you know, and
Is he the leader right now on defense?
Yes.
Points-wise? He had two assists last night. I think he leads all defensemen in points in the playoffs.
Yeah, and just even beyond that, you know, Tampa has been able to force turnovers in the Bruins' half of the rink. You know, some of the passes coming out of the zone have, you know, been intercepted, disrupted. They've done a nice job defensively at that.
Bruins were better last night.
They were better at it last night, but taking Krug out of the lineup, it makes a big difference in there, too, because he's one of those guys that you can generally count on to move that puck well coming out of the zone.
Yeah, more emphasis now on a guy like Grizzlick, who had a good bounce-back game yesterday. You know, he had some good reads. He had some composure with the puck. He's going to need to play, you know, a lot more minutes. You know, who do you replace Krug with on that top power play? Most likely it'll be Grizzly. He plays the most similar style to Krug. You know, he's not as good yet offensively as Torey Krug, but, you know, I don't think he has the shot that Torey does, but he can distribute the puck, and he's got the good foot quickness at the point and the ability to make plays there. So my expectation is that he would get that call right now. I don't know. I mean, we'll find out more tomorrow or even later today. But, you know, he's the guy that would most likely spot in there. When Krug missed some time,
Nick Holden did see some time on the man advantage.
Yeah, but,
when you had
but I'm
some
talking
injuries.
About one defenseman to play with that top unit, mm-hmm. and that's got to be Krug. And then, so what do you do on the next unit? You know, do you use four forwards and McAvoy, or do you go with two defensemen and Holden and McAvoy? That's a decision you have to make. But, you know, I would imagine Grizzlick gets that spot there and the opportunity to utilize some of his foot quickness, some of his assets at the offensive blue line.
All right, let's go to Chris in Plainville up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Guys, I didn't think in the playoffs there was a more offensively skilled team. I certainly, being a Bruins team, of course, as a fan, you'd think, well, no one's going to outwork us. No one's going to want it more. I think I was wrong on both accounts. I never thought I'd say that with this team. And when it comes to Rick Nash, there's two words that are going to describe his career when it's over, and it's unrealized potential. And you guys have a good day, and I've enjoyed your show.
All right. Appreciate the call, Chris.
Well, when it comes to Tampa, this was the top offensive team during the regular season, and I think when you employ the work ethic that you're seeing from Tampa up and down the lineup, that's what makes them really dangerous. When skill players, when your top-end guys are engaged like that, you're going to be a threat to any team in the playoffs.
I mean, do you have a different feeling? We cut them off, right? Do you have a different feeling if this series is 2-2 after last night?
I mean,
do you have a different feeling? I mean, if Bruins played, played hard last night,
I'm sure
they
it
made
would feel differently. But
Rick Nash was at the top of the list in terms of mistakes early on in the game, whether it was taking a penalty or turning the puck over on a couple of occasions. I mean, with Nash, it's what did we say? The day that he got traded to the Bruins, no matter what he does on any other part of the ice, he's going to be judged on his production. And getting chances isn't enough. You need to finish. You need to be able
right.
to
It's great
score.
To have six shots, but if you don't have any
and
goals.
Last night, the other part of his game failed him. And that was turning the puck over and then taking penalties. So, you know, that was double whammy there last night. And, you know, other games, you know, I'm watching his game saying, look, I don't mind what he's doing through a lot of the ice. You know, he's dependable defensively. He's making pretty smart plays for the most part. He's made a couple good defensive plays. You know, they're using him on the penalty kill now. So, you know, he's been decent. He's been good in some of those areas. And then when he finishes, yeah, great. You know, he had two goals in the first game. And then when he doesn't finish, you're like, all right, so you're still going to judge him on the production. But last night, everything failed. In terms of, you know, early in the game, he wasn't where he needed to be, and you know, they talk about managing the puck, not turning the puck over in certain situations, and There you go. Coming out of the zone, he turns one over right at the defensive blue line, and then he turned another one over in front of the bench, which resulted in the point goal. Could it have been defended better? Yeah, but he turned the puck over right there. You know, Krejci, you know, can he make a better play on it? Who knows? It's a little bit behind him. Whatever. There's a bunch of different things you can look at on that goal, but it starts with turning the puck over right there. And it's just something that they've talked about trying to do better, and they didn't do it right there.
To his other point about kind of the work ethic in this series and all of that, I think you're right. I think it would feel a little different if the series was 2-2, but at the same time, I look at last night's game and say, okay, you win game one. What happened in game two? Tampa came out and was dominant.
Well,
in that now, okay,
you're playing against the top team.
I understand
a team that finished ahead of you in the standings, albeit by close margin, but they finished ahead of you. So you are playing against a quality team
you can play with this team, and this is
absolutely
not like you're David versus Goliath.
Going to be momentum swings throughout a game. Second period yesterday was all Bruins.
Yes,
but, you know what I mean. So there's momentum swings throughout a game.
The frustration of that for me comes with. So Tampa comes out in game two and is dominant. You don't have a shot on goal for the first 14 minutes of that game.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So you come home again in game three. First shift was good. Then you fall. You give up two goals in 3 minutes, and you're in a hole again. In game four, down 2-1 in a game that you have to win. You have to win that game last night. It didn't feel like they came out of the locker room like with their hair on fire, which is what I was expecting to see last
night. I disagree with you on that one. I thought that the work ethic was there, but as Bob alluded to, there were a couple of turnovers that end up putting the Bruins in a little bit of disarray. Then you have a penalty call against you. Now you're back on your heels, and it takes you a while to recover. I don't think that was the case. I think Bruce Cassidy and the team will tell you that in Game 3, the work ethic was not at the level that it needed to be. Mm-hmm. Not the case
and
in Game 4.
One-on-one battles, little battles around the ice, those are the things that they really look at. When you talk about being physical, it's not always about the big hit. It's about winning those little battles.
Sure.
And it's a series of those throughout. And there's going to be, and Tampa's a good team. Tampa's got the ability to do that. You got to be able to match that, if not, and take it to another level. I thought last night, that goal by Point, it was the second turnover by Nash.
Yep.
The first one didn't end up in the back of the net. That one did. He gets around Chara. He splits Chara and McAvoy, but he gets around Chara. And then, Rass tries to go for the poke check. It was, good finish by Point, but there could have been some other things that went better for the Bruins in that sequence. And it takes a lot of steam out of you when that mistake ends up in the back of the net. It seems like that mistake, much like Grizzlick in game three, honest mistake. The puck, he's there. The Bruins are defending well through the neutral zone. They give him nothing. It's just a flip out of the zone by Tampa. Grizzlick's there. Okay, I'm going to knock it down with my hand. I'm going to move the puck up the ice. Can't find it. And puck ends up in the back of the net. Those are so deflating. Those little plays are so deflating. And then yet the Bruins, okay, we're going to battle back here. We're going to battle back. This is in game three I'm talking about. And then a second goal goes in, off of a defensive zone faceoff that's lost, and all of a sudden the puck's in the back of the net. You don't cover in front of the net, and it goes D to D, or it goes out to the defense, I should say, on a rebound, and the shot comes back in, and it's a tip-in by Palat. Those are such. It takes a little while to dig yourself out of that, and you come in all gung ho. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. We're gonna play this way and that way. We're gonna make sure we manage the pocket. All of a sudden, you're down 2-0.
Then you get the power play goal, and then Anthony Cirelli is allowed to stand out in front and take three whacks at a loose puck, and on the third one, he's able to tally.
But that was another one where they just threw we're going back to game three here, but that's another one where they toss the puck out in the neutral zone and transition right back the other way, and the defense are back on their heels because they threw the puck out, and now it's coming right back at them. So they're not up the ice yet, and now you're backing in, and odd man rush, and all of a sudden, you don't cover enough or well enough in front, and Cirelli's putting it in. So that was the one that actually, that Bruce Cassidy said was the most deflating in that game.
Mm.
Well, last night, you get down 2-0, no matter how it happened. Okay, we're not going away here. They dig their heels in. They get a goal to make it 2-1. They make sure they get through the period that way. They have a good, strong second period.
No doubt.
They should have had a couple goals there. But so they did a lot of good things in yesterday's game. They were better with the puck most of the game. The work ethic was there. A lot of the battle level was there where it needed to be. I know we got to take a break, but there's a couple little things that, you know, they still gave up a breakaway to Kucherov, a breakaway to Stamkos, a free chance to Tyler Johnson coming down the right wing. And those are critical times. They're right after the Bruins had scored or right after they had, you know, come back into the game. You know, that still has to be kind of addressed right now, you know, moving forward. I mean, Rask made a couple big saves. I think he got helped by the crossbar and Kucherov shot, but he made a couple of key saves in that game and at key times, especially Stamkos on a breakaway.
All right, let's get to Sports Hub headlines here. We'll continue to talk about last night's game, and Billy Jaffe is going to join us coming up on the other side as well as we continue here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
You're listening to the Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you until 11 o'clock today. Although, are you out of here early?
No, I had my flight wrong. You got me for the whole thing.
All right,
friend.
Good. We thought Judd was going to have to head to Logan Airport, catch an Uber out of here, but...
all good.
All right, good.
So back last night.
We'll talk to Billy Jaffe here in, as a matter of fact, right now. Billy Jaffe is joining us on the hotline. He has been on the road this week. You already knew that if you've been listening to our Extra Ice Time podcast, which he had to do remotely. What's going on, Jaff? Billy? Well, apparently we do not have Billy Jaffe. All right, we'll get him back on the line. Let's talk to Tommy in Milton as we wait for Billy. What's up, Tommy? Tommy? All right, is this something at our end? Frank the Tank is always ready to go. What's up, Frank?
Gentlemen, how you doing today?
What's up, buddy?
Not too much. Look, I hope you give me a 90 seconds here. I know Billy's coming up, but
real quick.
Look, I don't want to blame the officiating, you know, for the Bruins losing, but it is difficult when you're playing 5-on-7. Some of these calls and the time they're being made and how they're being made and what they're being made on, I mean, it's downright just really pissing me off. And it's not just because I'm a Bruins fan. I've watched other series, and it's not happening there. If the Bruins really want to, you know, get angry with themselves and figure out what the actual hell is going on with them right now, it's their lack of secondary scoring and their complete lack of team defense that's been going on in the past couple of games.
Right,
you cannot turn the puck over against this team with the weapons that they have. And, you know, Nash and Krejci, you know, they've got to realize, you know, you're good players. You're in this league for a reason. And they brought Rick Nash over here for a reason. It's almost like the Jaromir Jagr trade a few years back where he was supposed to come and help and did absolute squat while he was here. It's starting to get really frustrating, and they're going to need those guys to help out if they think they can get back into this series, which I think they can. They're a good team.
I appreciate the call, Frank.
Frank's on. And we haven't gotten to this point yet because everything's been focused a lot on the officiating, but the secondary scoring is really, I mean, it is really hurting this team right now. And I know that you talked a little bit about the lines, and we can get into that a little bit later and maybe the second hour. But, yeah, the secondary scoring has been it's non-existent, and Bruce Cassidy's kind of grasping at straws now, trying to get something out of line other than the top
and
one.
And you're getting beat 5-on-5, and, you know, other than the top line and especially the top line playing on the man advantage, the Bruins haven't been able to consistently get to the middle of the ice. Now, obviously, part of that is the team that they're playing against. Tampa's done a nice job of protecting the house and doing a lot of that. But you got to have more than 4 combined shots from your second line last night.
All right, we've got Billy Jaffe with us now. Has been down working at NHL Network this week. What's up, Billy?
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. How are you all today?
We're surviving. How are things in lovely Secaucus this morning?
Lovely would be the word. Lovely. Yeah, I've made my way to Jersey City this morning for a few minutes, but it's even lovelier.
Yes. There's nice smell wafting in at this time of year, usually.
Well, the Statue of Liberty is it's always a nice thing to see that. So that's the nice thing. But, yes, it's an interesting, you know, I was watching the game last night. You guys, you heard Bob and Judd talking in the caller. I mean, they're all they're spot on about it. And, you know, not working the game per se, but still kind of working it in my head. I'm also yelling and screaming, and I don't even know if I even want to talk about the officiating. I'm sure you guys have covered it all in the previous half an hour.
Well, and again, you know, we talked about it on the podcast this week that, you know, there's been some things certainly that have stood out in this series, but this is a league-wide issue. This isn't just about the Bruins getting, you know, screwed on a couple of calls here. This is a problem that's going on around the playoffs.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of curious calls, some inconsistencies in other games. Maybe I wasn't watching the face-off stuff as much in other games, but it seems like the Bruins were, that in particular, Bergeron was impacted more than a lot of other series that I've been, you know, watching and analyzing. But yeah, there've been just been some missed calls and other ones, and I hate talking about the officiating over and over. And I'm sure you guys, I'm going to guess you guys agree with that. But it's become too, you know, it's become too much of a thing that you can't not talk about it at times.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you can't ignore it, and especially when it's swinging games. However, there is a lot of other things to kind of unpack out of that game last night, including, and you know, as Frank brought up on the call, the secondary scoring. So let's go there. Last night, the lines that Bruce Cassidy put out there, he keeps the Bergeron line together. He keeps the Krejci line together. We expected Donato was going to go into the lineup, but I'm not sure too many people were expecting Brian Gianta was going to go into the lineup as well and that they would be together on the third line.
No, you know, there were rumblings of that, and it caught me a little bit by surprise, you know, absolutely admit that, and that they were on, you know, a line that I guess you have this real young guy and this veteran guy on the side. I thought they'd maybe try and mix it up a little bit differently, you know, Bruce Cassidy and his staff trying to find that spark. When it's all said and done, just find that one game spark. You know, last night in the Vegas game, Gerard Gallant put in a couple of different guys, and he was asked why, and he said just to try and shake it up a little bit. And here's a team that, you know, is pretty darn well, and, you know, despite the fact they had lost the previous game, they were still solid in the series, and he wanted to see if he could find a spark. And so Bruce Cassidy trying to rev it up for that one game and see, you know, he's had a nice touch on bringing guys in and out of the lineup, and this one, you know, I guess, and this is a pretty obvious statement, it didn't work 100% the way that he would like it to. You know, Donato seemed to get better. I don't know if Bob and Judd agree. As the game went on, he had a few chances paddling the puck a little more, almost there. I would expect or hope that he'd be even better in his second game back at that high-level competition. But, you know, there's no question that the depth scoring is a significant issue for this team right now.
He'll play again on Sunday. I don't think there's any question about that Donato will be back in there. Jake DeBrusk's really hurting. He's really hurting. I mean, you can see it. He's kind of laboring around. He still made some good plays last night, but he is hurting. And, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise to see Donato inserted onto that line if they keep Krejci and Nash together. I mean, they're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves right now, but I don't know what Jake DeBrusk, there's definitely something he's going through. Mm-hmm. Give him a lot of credit, but there's no question that he's battling through something.
Yeah. He doesn't have that powerful, that power stride, that breakthrough that we saw up until just what last series, right? Where he was powered by defensemen, and we haven't seen that at all in the interior play out of him. So it's a shame, you know, it's happening right now to the Bruins, given how successful of a regular season they had, but everybody's going through this at some level right now. It just seems to be all coming together in the wrong way for the Bees right now.
Billy, obviously, in addition to the officiating, Marchand's behavior last night has made national headlines once again. He licked somebody.
Yeah.
Do we expect there was reports of a reaction from the league when it happened a couple of weeks ago. Do you expect a more significant reaction this time, as in, we're not putting up with this anymore?
Yeah, I do. I expect something, at the very least, something strong internally coming down. There's no reason for it. There's no need for it. You know, you had the incident in the original incident, and you move past it. Get by it. Be the superstar that you are. And I would be, you know, I haven't made a call yet this morning, but I would be very surprised if something strong internally, at the very least, isn't brought to the attention of the Bruins.
They should come out publicly. They should come out publicly and say this will not be tolerated. It would be a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty if this happens again. I don't understand why not. And you know, I understand why Marchand. He's okay. I don't want to throw a punch at Ryan Callahan. So you know, what else can I do? You know, he's taking a little couple pops to the face and you know the face wash, and then so he does that, but. Obviously, no place for it. I'm in total agreement with that. You shouldn't be doing that. So just come out and say it. It's going to be an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Well, like you know, they did it with Sean Avery.
Sure, they did.
You know, a while ago, and so you know, they might come out and with something like that. But I gotta figure that it'll be very strong directive given at least to the Bruins at the minimum. Like
yeah.
to you know that listen, this is it. This is done. You're done. You know, doing it. There is no place for it. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't in my book.
Do you see a path for the Bruins to come back in this series?
I'm not sure anymore. I think with the injuries they have, you know, as Bob just got something's up with Tate DeBrusk, if what's up with Torey Crew, those are two significant players for your team, significant minutes, significant opportunities. And I see a team that, at times, I thought they looked more confident last night at times, but is not carrying the same swagger that they had in the original, you know, the regular season and at times in the original series against Toronto. Not always, as we know, they were really good and then they weren't so good. It's going to be tough, RJ. It doesn't feel like it, but then again, I didn't think Toronto would come back down 3-1, and they almost did, so... I guess that's my hope, my perspective. I'll use that as my comp and hope that they can. But if those injuries are significant, it doesn't feel good.
All right, Billy Jaffe, we appreciate you checking in. Enjoy the rest of your time down in Jersey.
Gentlemen, be well. Travel safe, guys, down to Florida.
All right.
See you later.
Billy Jaffe, who joins us normally in the 10 o'clock hour, but had to check in a little bit early because of his commitments down there. You can check him out on the NHL Network. He's been doing a great job with them this week. And, of course, on our Extra Ice Time podcast, subscribe to the Sports Hub Hockey Show podcast. Get it on the app. Get it on the website. It's available everywhere. And we've been dropping that on a weekly basis here throughout the course of the playoffs, and hopefully we'll continue to do that for a little while yet. All right, we will continue with more of your calls coming up. 617-779-0985. It is the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerah, and Bob Beers on the home of the Bees, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, you have to ask the players that. We tell them not to, but we're human beings. I mean, it's game after game after game. I mean, to me, you know, the calls, you look at the Achari penalty, it's unbelievable. The league gives you a directive at the start of the year that if you're going to go at the stick, you got to go under the stick and not on the hands, over top the hands, or he goes under the stick a foot from his hands. And you got a 6'5" guy that I think really sold it. And I think the officials have to be on top of that. You know, they got to be on top of that call because it's not an infraction. He lifted his stick as he's been directed to do. Didn't go our way. Now, we score a shorty out of that, so you almost think there's a bit of karma involved. But at the end of the day, we got to find a way to play through it.
Bruce Cassidy with a kind of a familiar refrain from him and from some of his players last night after that game in saying, you know what, got to play through it. There's going to be calls that you don't agree with. And you can look back at the early part of the Toronto series with the delay of game and all of that that popped up there. There's going to be things that happen during the course of a game that you got to play through. And what you say when you're trying not to get fined after a game sometimes.
No, there's so many things you can look back on throughout a series, throughout a game. And you know, we had Frank on earlier as the caller, and you know, I'm watching other games as well. It's not just the Bruins.
No,
and I get it. It's all right. We're talking about a real tough job here. I mean, but I'm not making excuses for them. They blew it. You can't defend that. You can't defend missing that call. You know, the other things that happen in a game, Pastrnak lifting a guy's stick, Hedman's stick, and Hedman hitting himself in the face. I get that because it happened so quick. And it took me three replays to finally see what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and but they are a lot closer than we are. But, you know, I get that.
But we
I
have the benefit of watching
that.
Super slow-mo to see what happens there.
So yeah. I can – that – okay. Jake DeBrus lifting Anton Strawman's stick in front of the bench and Strawman just letting his stick fly out of his hands being a slashing penalty is a joke. And not making a call on a holding on an easy penalty to call holding.
Not making a call on Brad Marchand's breakaway in game two where he gets slashed.
Well, but I also think the bigger picture is so now you have guys we talked about Charo.
Again, we're whining about referees and down three in a series. That's what it comes across as.
But you know, we talked about Chara.
You can't avoid it.
Chara selling a penalty last night. Hedman selling a penalty last night.
Hedman opened the door.
But I think in the big picture around the league, players are selling these things to the referees, and they are buying. And it's a bad look for the game overall.
There's no selling on the non-call.
I agree. Listen, they flat out missed that. They got that wrong. Missed it. But what I'm starting to see, I see in soccer, this is the National Hockey League.
Well, it's been like this for a while.
And as Bob said last...
We've played Montreal year after year. It's been like this for a while.
But as Bob said, even Chara last night, he bought a call, right? I mean, he...
Hedman opened the door.
No question.
As soon as Hedman embellished, doors open. If you feel something, you feel a stick on you, you embellish. He opened the door as soon as he did it. It's part of it. I'm sorry. There were times, you know, in the season. I remember Claude Julien complaining.
Yes,
Montreal head coach complaining. You know, and it was Rick Nash throwing his head back, and he was right. But you know, Montreal has don't be throwing stones.
But Claude was always that way. I mean, he would call his own players out for doing that when he was here.
He was, yeah, and you know, he was pretty firm with that. He didn't want to see it. And you know, I applaud him for that.
And the Bruins were always in the bottom five in power play opportunities in the league, too.
Exactly. But as soon as Hedman opened the door, we're not getting any power plays here. And as soon as Chara felt the stick on him, and they're watching Johnson because they were kind of pushing and shoving, you know, throughout that shift after Chara had buried him there along the boards, you know, referees are watching it. And as soon as he came up with the stick, Chara made sure the ref saw it, and that was a penalty. It could have been both of them, but I would have said the same thing about Hedman's.
All right, let's get to Sports Hub headlines here.
That should have just been one, not both.
Yeah. Let's get to Sports Hub headlines here. We got another hour to go. Joe Haggerty is going to join us coming up in studio, and we'll get to more of your calls throughout hour number two as well. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show on a Saturday.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He scores!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beers. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hour number two here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, and now joined in the Town Fair Tire Studios as well by the one, the only Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports Boston.
What's up, Ryan? Hey, Judd. Hey, Bob.
May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
Of yesterday, the R2-D2 suit has morphed into a BB-8. Baseball jersey today, huh?
I think Cam liked the suit. He came over and gave me a fist pound before the game. So I think I got the
closet
Cam Neely,
Star Wars fan.
I got the Cam Neely seal of approval on the R2-D2 suit. So
sure, he wasn't trying to punch you in the head to see if he could rearrange some of those thoughts.
I think most people when they saw me from like the other side of the ninth floor halo, they thought it was Don Cherry in the building when they saw that crazy white and blue suit going on. So,
where to start? We spent a good chunk of the first hour obviously talking about the officiating.
Yep.
And we've also talked about the Marchand licking incident a little bit.
Yeah, that needs to stop.
I think it will stop.
I think it's going to too. And you know, it's a very easy fix to just make it an unsportsmanlike conduct and slap a penalty on, you know, anybody that does stuff like that, that the referees make the call and, you know, just nip it in the bud right there. As soon as it starts hurting the team, Like, I mean, the reason he's doing that, right, is because he's getting punched in the head. He doesn't want to take it like a Sedin. You know, he wants to do something back and not just sit there and get slapped around by Ryan Callahan. And he feels like that's what he can do between the lines. It's not going to hurt the team, but it's going to be a response right now. As soon as it starts becoming a penalty, he can't do that either, and he's going to have to figure out something else. And it's just not a good look for the Bruins. It's not a good look for the league. It's not a good look for Brad Marchand. Like, they need to, you know, stop it now and create some kind of a Sean Avery, Martin Brodeur type in mid-playoff sort of adjustment to the rules here.
Do you guys, because we haven't talked about this aspect of it yet.
Sorry, I'm just watching the highlight of Kucherov.
ESPN
grabbing.
Is showing the
ESPN's actually
right
showing
now.
A highlight of yeah. hockey. Well,
you know, I heard you, Beersy, just saying, like, it sounds like you're complaining about the officials or whatever when you talk about it.
I can't believe it. I'm just watching it again.
It's true, but the thing is, like, name me a penalty, a call or non-call in this series at a crucial moment that's hurt the Tampa Bay Lightning. You can name a bunch with the Bruins, and you can't name one with the Lightning, and that's significant.
Well, you can name at least two.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, Marchand getting slashed on a breakaway right after the Bruins had made it, 3-2 at the time, and then on the ensuing faceoff, Marchand makes that play that he loves to, you know, that they've got a set play. You know, when they win the faceoff, Marchand starts out to the boards, gets a defenseman a little bit wider, then cuts back to the middle almost like a post pattern. Gets the breakaway. He's behind Strawman. The referee has one job to do there. That referee who's in good position has one job to do there. And it's not watching for the goal. It's watching for the guy that's chasing the puck carrier. He has one job. And Strawman chops down on the hand of Marchand, and there's nothing.
And after that happens in game two, right? And you know they're you know not purposely going to go out of their way, but you would expect Bruins on home ice. They got hosed in game two. You would expect you're not going to see things go against them on their home ice in game four, and that the hockey gods are going to kind of even things out, right?
Now,
and
different that's referees absolutely... every game, you know, even
But they're
even
aware,
still.
Right? Those refs were aware.
Well, they're
of what
aware
game
because
two.
There's a supervisor who's Rob Schick, by the way, and every game in between each game, both teams meet with him. Both teams air out their grievances. He kind of sifts through what's you know what's relevant and what's real and what's kind of you know. Made up that they're looking to just kind of get the advantage in certain areas. Faceoffs have been a big factor.
Yeah.
Not so much last night. By the way, Bergeron and Krejci were outstanding in the faceoff circle last night. I know Krejci's taking some heat, but Bergeron was outstanding in the faceoff circle last night. He didn't get kicked out nearly as much as he did in the previous couple of games. So that might have tilted a little bit on the Bruins side of things. But each game, there's grievances aired. And, I mean, you know what's coming from Boston's side you know, in terms of these penalties, non-penalties, whatever. I mean, but there's also a couple little things that get thrown out there as well.
All right, to that end, as I started to, you know, with the Marchand licking incident, right before that, what leads to it is that he and Callahan come together. Callahan's obviously upset. Marchand ducks the hit and goes low. John Cooper, during the TV broadcast last night, is asked about it by Pierre and starts talking about, well, hits like that end careers, which...
Yeah, if he was down a lot lower.
Well, that's the thing. Is like we've seen Marchand in the past. He's been suspended for it, where he really low bridges a guy who's coming for him. That wasn't that type of an incident.
I'm still a little off on that one. I didn't think he went that low on Sammy Salo. And Sammy Salo was made of paper anyhow. He got hurt and guys touch him. I mean, you know, he's out 6 weeks and anybody touches him. He was always hurt through his entire career. You know, Girardi went right up over top of Marchand in game three.
Yes.
And that wasn't a low bridge. He went a little low, but not like low is to the knees. You can go on the thigh.
Right. If
you can go
like,
on
if
the
he
thigh,
ducks so that his hip is at knee level, that's a dirty
that's
play,
absolutely.
Right?
And neither one of those were in that realm.
Yeah, it's self-preservation. What's he going to do?
Cooper was asked. He answered. He's going to protect his player.
Of course.
You know, he's going to protect his player. And a lot of the stuff last night was on. He was deflecting. Cooper's entire press conference deflecting. He wasn't going to talk about a non-call on Kucherov. He's going to talk about Marchand.
Sure.
He's going to get that focus away from that.
Well, he's succeeded in a lot of places outside of Boston.
Just
today,
so
I'm sure.
I know, did anybody ask Coop on that play? You know, should there have been a call? Did you get away with one?
I wasn't there for Cooper, so I did not hear. I don't think he was asked about that. The Kucherov thing, I do not think he was asked.
I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. No, I don't think he was asked about that.
What did you think of the lineup last night?
I mean, I obviously liked Ryan Donato in there. I thought the Bruins could have used some kind of a jolt. And certainly that was, I thought, the best that they've played in the series, for my mind. Just, you know, 5-on-5, special teams. They really controlled the second period almost completely. Things you really liked that you hadn't seen much of in the first three games. I didn't get Brian Gionta. I didn't understand going that level with it. I don't know that I would have taken Riley Nash out, just because I think even if he's not giving you anything offensively, penalty kill-wise, face-off-wise, I think he gives you enough to still justify being in there to kind of give you that strength down the middle. So I don't know if I would have gone that far. But, you know, I did like Donato being in there, and it's tough. You know, you end up with Achari, Donato, and Gionta out there in overtime. It's 5-on-5 OT. You got to play everybody, especially when you're riding your horses the latter part of that game. You got to get everybody in there, and they just get caught out there with those guys on the ice and end up giving
third line against third line. It's not getting caught out there with those guys on the ice. It wasn't like the faceoff started in that zone.
No. But I mean, just being stuck in the
zone. If they had a defensive zone faceoff, that line wouldn't have been out there. They wouldn't have been out there for that. I mean, Corrali might have been, but they wouldn't have had. You know, they would have had a different, you know, lineup out there.
No, I mean being caught in the D zone like they were at that point. That's all.
Yeah, look, the puck comes around the boards. Donato tried to chop it out. You can't try to chop it out there. You're really not going to get that puck out because it was a good pinch by McDonough. So can you protect the puck and kind of hold on to it? Then it's a two on two or 3-on-3 battle over there. Tampa emerges with the puck. Bruins are still in no trouble. Everything's on the outside. Gionta reads the play extremely well. He comes down with Girardi, who came down from the blue line to get to the front of the net. Watch McQuaid on the play. That's how you play it in front of the net. You either get puck or you get stick. McQuaid's covering Cirelli. McQuaid gets a stick up in the air on Cirelli, so he can't get a tip on the play. He does his job there. He's wedged in between the goal and Cirelli. You keep your body in between, you know, the oncoming player and the net, if possible. You get the stick up in the air because he wasn't going to go for the puck. Gionta was there. He didn't get puck. He didn't get stick. It's the reality of it. He wasn't able to do it. I think the puck actually glanced off of his skate, and then Girardi got a stick on it with one hand. But
And he
you
wasn't
either
got
to get puck or you got to get stick. He wasn't able to do it.
And he wasn't much of a factor in the game before that either.
Well,
you know, it's
I mean,
just...
that's, yeah, whatever. But it's you know, that play ultimately, it is what it is. I mean, he does his job in coming back down. He's right there. He has his man, but he doesn't have him. And puck ends up in the back of the net. I mean, that's just, you know, accountability. That's, you're there, but you weren't there. And I got tremendous respect for what Brian Gionta's done throughout his career, but he didn't make the play there.
Joe Haggerty.
Other things happened before it, but he didn't make the play there.
Yep. Joe Haggerty is joining us in studio. We will continue with him and your calls coming up as well. 617-779-0985.
Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 the Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show until 11 o'clock. We got Joe Haggerty with us in studio from NBC Sports Boston. We were talking a few minutes ago about the lineup last night and, you know, Gionta being in the lineup and that. I guess the other part of it, too, for me was we've, during the course of the playoffs, you know, a lot of people have been calling for Ryan Donato to be in the lineup when the Bruins have, you know, have struggled to score or haven't gotten wins. Like, well, when are we going to see Donato? When are we going to see Donato? And one of the things that has been talked about as to why he's not in the lineup is, well, you know, he doesn't really fit a third line role or, you know, things like that. When you finally put him in the lineup and you put him with Gionta and Corrali last night, like, that didn't seem to make a lot of sense to me, especially when the Krejci line hasn't been going, right? They're not scoring, so why are you keeping that line together when you have, you know, an opportunity to shake that line up as well and see if you can kickstart David Krejci's offense by putting, you know, a young kid with him that you know has a, you know, an opportunity to score every night?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I half expected to see Jake DeBrusk potentially down on the third line and see Donato up with Krejci and Nash to start last night as well. I think you could have gone either way. You know, I think the point is just finding him a spot in the lineup where, you know, maybe something can happen on a shift and he can make some offense happen, because he's shown that with his shot and his ability to score, regardless of who he's playing with, if he's in one of the top three lines, and put him on the power play, the second unit, and try to, you know, get some offense that way. So I think it's just trying to fit him in. You know, I think you're kind of quibbling at that point. You could have put him in either spot, and I would have been okay with it as long as he was in.
Well, I think the way that Bruce has coached most of the season, what he's tried to do is maintain as much continuity as he possibly can. So, and again, I have not had this conversation with him, nor do I understand if anybody's asked, you know, why did you put him in this spot and not move DeBrus down? But this way, he's only upsetting two lines rather than three. That's the only thing that I can think
of
at this point.
Well, they got production from DeBrus in the first round.
Yep.
So that line was a factor. Krejci was in on a number of goals, including three helpers in Game 7. Rick Nash, you know, had chipped in with some things here and there. So the hope was that that line would kind of get going again. You give them a little extra rope to try to get themselves going. And yep. I think that that's part of the thinking. The other part of it may be, you know, protecting. And I say protecting, that's probably the wrong word, but insulating maybe Donato over on the left wing. If you're not entirely sure about what he's going to do on his own end, you put him with a Corrali instead of a but you're also going to give him the power play time. Playing, when you say playing on the third line, he doesn't fit the third line. Yes, he does. If you've got a scoring third line, he does. So it's now putting on the fourth line, I get. That's more of a grind it out, just dump the
right.
puck in, go to work, but, you know, put the lunch pails.
Donato, Corrali, and Gianta does not jump off the page,
Ryan,
as a scoring
you.
Third line.
Ryan, I'm with you. But I'm saying that if you put them on a kind of a third line. So I had my mock lineup yesterday. So as everybody did, after the morning skate, okay, what are they going to do with the lines? You know, and I had Donato playing with Krejci and Nash.
Yeah, me too.
And I had DeBrus playing with Corrali and possibly Backes. I thought that line would do, you know, Corrali, DeBrus, mm-hmm. I thought could do something with their styles and the way that they go after the puck and the way that they hunt the puck, and that frees up Backes maybe to, you know, where he doesn't have to be the first guy in every time on a forecheck. You're going to have DeBrus doing that.
And Corrali,
you
know, and Backes were good in the playoffs last year together.
Yeah,
too.
So yeah. I kind of had a little different, you know, but you know what? They lose the game, it's open for second guessing.
Right.
You know, they win the game, you know, things look good and you move on. And you know what? They should have won the game.
that was my point when I
they
was
should have won the game.
I was asked about it on
this
NBC Sports,
2-2
Sports
right
Boston
now.
Last night, and that was my point is, look, that's the best that they've played in the series.
Yeah.
Like, it worked by and large because
they still
it got
need
them
secondary scoring.
Better.
They
Absolutely.
Still need to clean up some of the turnovers that plagued them early in the game.
Yeah, they still need better
zone
starts to the game.
Sure.
We'd be talking
start,
today,
but
yep.
they should have won.
Yep. We'd be talking today pizza. About Bergeron. We'd be talking about Marchand.
Bergeron
game.
Was unbelievable. Yeah.
We'd be talking about the power the play and maybe a lack of discipline from the Tampa Bay Lightning taking a few undisciplined penalties.
Yeah. Taking
that's
an offensive zone
penalty.
That's
what we'd be talking about.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And
talking about a 2-2 series, and it's a completely different mindset, and that's how big potentially that play was there yesterday, because, you know, who knows if the Bruins finish it off, like I said. But what were they, 2-for-4 on the power play prior?
Yes.
To
yeah.
the, you know, and then going on a power play with 7 minutes to go and yep. a 3-2 lead.
No, I think you look, when this series is over, I think we look back on last night's game as the pivotal moment in the series where, you know, it could have started to, the tide could have started to turn. The Bruins start to feel like maybe they've got some answers against the Lightning.
They did, in the second period especially.
Yeah, absolutely. They're getting puck possession. Things are going their way. You could feel that tide start to flow. And then that call happens with about 7 minutes to go and just completely just puts a dagger in it. It was really unfortunate.
All right, it's Torrey Krug injury.
Yeah, didn't look good. He went out on a boot and crutches after the game was over last night. It didn't look good, him crashing into the boards. It seemed to me like Killorn had a little hand in the back as he was going into the boards. Didn't like to see that either, but I'd be really surprised, obviously, if he comes back in this series.
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty much everybody's operating under the assumption that he's probably going to be done.
Yep.
So Nick Holden goes into the lineup. What the impact of that combined with, you know, how do you replace, you know, Torrey Krug's offensive skill that he's brought, because as Bob mentioned, he's leading NHL defensemen in points.
Well, and the power play really is the biggest weapon that you have against Tampa Bay, and I think if you're going to win the series, the power play has to do a lot of damage for you, and now you're taking off one of the big components in Torrey Krug, and you're taking off one of the guys that plays a lot of minutes and is key to a lot of what the Bruins do.
And Krug,
it's a challenge.
It's Krug doesn't, you know, when you think about the power play and you think one defenseman, he doesn't just stand out at the point. He makes a lot of his plays from down. Look at the play he made Bergeron yesterday.
Down
He's down low below the goal line. So, you know, his momentum carried him into the zone. He switches a lot with Marchand on that power play where he'll go down to the half wall and try to make plays from there. You know, once they made that trade when Ryan Spooner left, they lose that half wall guy. You know, Marchand might be better in some other areas on the power play, so they've moved him around. They've moved Pasternak up top when Torrey Krug moves down. So plugging somebody in, you know, if you plug a Matt Grizzlick in, it's not, all right, Matt, just stand out here at the point. You know, you got to be moving. You got to be making play, which he's capable of, very capable of. You know, can he do that? Can he replace Krug in some of those areas? And, you know, Krug brings a heavy shot when he gets that puck through. I mean, he hit the post yesterday in the second period, but he brings that good shot from the point, generally fairly accurate. He's got his eyes up. He's looking for tips down low. You know, that's something you're losing a lot without Krug as your quarterback on that power play. And so if it's Grizzly coming in or if it's somebody else coming in, you know, that's a tall ask. But, you know, you still got enough guys and enough weapons to be able to be effective there. But you've got to have somebody playing with a lot of confidence and jumping, as Torrey Krug did on the power play.
Yeah, that unit has the best chemistry I've ever seen on a Bruins power play, as far as guys moving around, switching positions, changing all around, keeping the PK guessing. You know, you take one of the elements out, and it's definitely going to hurt what they do and that inner working chemistry that they have together, and it's really an unfortunate injury.
Where do we go from here?
Yeah, I mean, they've got to just build on the things that they did in Tampa on Sunday.
Well, you guys do.
they've got to build on what they did last night, you know, and not be discouraged by the end result.
That's easier said than done.
It is.
That's a deflating loss.
That is
a deflating, you know, as a player, you build up and you feel that you earned something here last night and you walk away with nothing. That's deflating. And so the ability to get them prepared for the next one and to turn it around. And this is an experienced group. There's younger guys, obviously, but this is an experienced group. So they should be able to kind of flip the switch, so to speak, and be ready to go down there. But it sits with you for a little while. I mean, that's got to eat at you last night. Somebody told me that Cam's reaction in the box was just
I'm sure there was
a lot of video.
Glad he gave the fist bump before the game.
I'm sure there was a line of broken furniture
But that's shared, maybe not as outwardly, but that's shared by everybody in that locker room. And the ability to try to turn that around and quickly turn it around within less than 48 hours to get ready for tomorrow afternoon's game, not easily done. And that's their biggest challenge right now from a mental standpoint.
See, I guess the good thing, though, right, is that you've got a little bit more confidence after the first three games. You can hold the puck more. You're going to be able to get some pressure. You can do a little bit more damage. You have
who
in your
had
mind
more turnovers
now
in last night's game, at least on the score sheet?
Yeah.
Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of them in the second period.
You have in your mind now that it's possible that you can do it, and you just have to go out and finish it off. And, like, at some point in this series, you would expect that there's going to be a break or two that are going to go the Bruins' way. And, maybe that starts happening now in the latter part of the series. And maybe it's too late. Maybe the damage has already been done. But you would expect maybe some of that is going to work in as well and start to work in their favor. I mean, the hockey gods owe them a couple. At least a couple.
No question. Now the officials owe them a couple, too.
Well, I say the hockey gods, that's kind of what I mean.
Don't be afraid to spread it out in 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
My friends up there.
Thanks for stopping in. Safe travels down to Tampa.
Thank you. You too, boys. See you in Tampa.
See ya. All right. We will have another half hour, and your calls next, 617-779-0985, right after Joe Murray gives the Sports Hub headlines.
Press the right pad, Sam. Let's go!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
If you want to hop aboard here in the final half hour of this week's Sports Hub Hockey Show, I want to go back to something right before we get to your calls. Just, you know, we've talked about it a few times this morning, the Bruins' lack of secondary scoring. 5-on-5. Two power play goals last night, one shorthanded goal. 5-on-5 is you need more. We know that. But Bob, is part of talking about that secondary scoring, you mentioned Jake DeBrusque, who has been tremendous through most of these playoffs.
Well, first round, especially.
Yeah. I mean, one of your best players. And you said he looks like he's dealing with something. Does that go back to that sequence in Tampa where he got drilled?
I think so.
And then he got up and he blocked the shot and he limped off.
It was a big hit by Killorn.
Yeah.
Clean hit by Killorn, but it was a shift where Tampa had the puck in the offensive zone. DeBrusque came back to the front of the net to help out. He was about ready to clear the puck, or at least skate it out of trouble, and Killorn buried him. And I don't know if that's when it happened, but I think so.
It feels like it's been different. Yeah. And there's been a couple of times since where he's taken hits and has been slow to get up. It happened again last night where he was struggling to get up.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know what – who knows? I mean, it's all speculation. We don't know for sure, but you see a hit. And that's true for a lot of guys too, Ryan. I mean, that should be pointed out. Everybody's dealing with something right now,
sure.
You know, and somebody, you're trying to play through it. I mean, Krejci got buried a couple times in that game one against Tampa by Gourde, got him once, maybe twice. You know, there's other guys get hit in certain situations, so you don't know what guys are dealing with. But you also figure that both teams are dealing with it. And, you know, at the end of the year, as soon as you get knocked out of the playoffs, you get, you know, here's seven guys
you
that need surgeries on something,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But that happens every season. And so everybody's dealing with something to some degree. You know, was he able to play through it last night? Yeah. Was he effective? At times. But not nearly as effective as he has been. And I think that, you know, he's gutting out something that's significant. So we'll see what happens here tomorrow.
All right, let's go to Chad. Chad, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey, boys. I just want to talk to you about the officiating has been terrible, not just in this series, but in all of them. And it's starting to remind me of the NBA and why I haven't watched an NBA game in 10 years. And then also the slow starts. You guys are talking about how the Bruins deserved to win the game last night. They had two shots in the first, 10 minutes? They've come out the last three games that they've lost really slow. It's been absolutely brutal to watch the first period of these games. So, I'll hang up and let you guys talk about that.
That has to change, but so obviously that has to change. You want to see them play with the lead. You want to see them play the right way. But it's not enough to go out. You kind of said, I don't know how you put a hair on fire. You know, you've got to be smart.
Right. There has to be some control to it. You can't just go out and try to run everybody through the boards. And
Tampa's not doing that.
No. But they're
starting smart.
And they cashed in on Bruins' mistakes yesterday. A couple of turnovers, penalty. Bang, 2-0.
You know, you were talking about how Tampa had, you know, outshooting them 10-0 through the first half of the period, and that was accurate. The Bruins, they missed the net twice coming down on odd man rushes. They had chances and missed the net on odd man rushes, but they didn't have the puck territorially in Tampa zone. I get all that, but so that's not the start you're looking for. It's just right now, that must have been game two, right? Because that was in Tampa.
Right.
So right now for the Bruins, there's a list of things that need to improve. They showed signs of it yesterday as the game went on. So starts are one of them. You know, being better and smarter in the early part of a game. Puck management is another. Again, that got better as the game went on. And they caused a lot of turnovers on Tampa's side. How do you forecheck? Well, the forecheck starts from how you break out. If you're not breaking the puck out of your zone, you're not forechecking. So they were better at breaking out, especially as the game went on in the second period specifically, because they went after Tampa in that period, and they caused a lot of turnovers there. They forechecked extremely well, and they were more composed with the puck coming up the ice and out of their own zone. So that got better. Five-on-five scoring, secondary scoring, that's the list. You know, that in no particular order. There's a list there of things. And what was the biggest question coming in? It was probably Rask, right? Rask's been pretty darn good in this series. They wasted some really good performances by him. They wasted a good performance by Bergeron last night. I say waste. They got the short end of the raw deal there. But I think that I'm a believer that this should be a 2-2 series based on last night's game. And you're going down there, and you got a completely different mindset here going into game five. Instead, your back's against the wall, and you got to flip the switch and get away from what just happened to you and be able to draw on some of the positives that happened last night and what you need to do in order to be successful.
I guess with
that's the mindset right now for you.
With some of the starts that they've had, so many times this year they've gotten in a hole and they've come back. You know, they've come back from some pretty big deficits at times, and we've seen it. You know, we saw it last night. They get down 2-0 and they come back. I guess the question that some people have is there some complacency here early in a game, thinking that, well, if we get behind, it's not that big of a deal because we know that we have the capability of coming back.
I don't think that that's the case. No, I think that this.
I mean, it might give
that
appearance,
well.
But. You know, it looks like that, but I don't think that's the case.
I think the optics would be wrong on that one. I think they came out with some purpose yesterday. They made some mistakes. Tampa made them pay.
And, you know, the other thing to keep in perspective as well is there are going to be swings. There's going to be times in a game where you're going to be in your own zone. There's going to be times in a game where Tampa dominates.
Right. They're and a really good team. They're
an excellent
you're
team.
You're not going to keep them
And there should be times in a game where you dominate
minutes.
Because you're good as well. But what was one of the biggest... You know, the top line got a lot of the notoriety during the regular season, rightfully so. They earned it. But the secondary scoring, where it was second, third, even fourth line at different times, that when they were on that real hot streak in the middle of the season and they were beating teams, it was because it was wave after wave after wave that kept coming at you. And if the top line wasn't on the board that night, the Nash line was on the board. The Riley Nash line was on the board with Heinen and Backes on the wings. Or Krejci's line was on the board. Or the fourth line was chipping in with a goal or two. That was the biggest, the team defense, the way they played defense, and the way that they wore teams down. They were the best 5-on-5 team in the league, or one of the best 5-on-5 teams in the league last year. And one of the best third period or during the season, and one of the best third period teams during the regular season. It was because they wore teams down. They're not getting enough of the contribution from down the lineup right now.
I think the other thing that we really haven't touched on across the series is that one of the significant differences between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Toronto Maple Leafs is not just how their defense is playing, but what that system is like and the type of offensive production that they've gotten from that group. If you go back to the 7 games against the Toronto Maple Leafs, they didn't have a single goal from a defenseman. They've gotten offensive production in this series from a number of different guys here in this series Lightning.
Hedman and McDonough are on another level.
They are.
Hedman's outstanding. You know, the more you watch him, the more you appreciate how good this guy is. I knew he flopped a little bit there, but what he does on the ice, what he controls, the shift time, you know when he's on the ice every time. And McDonough's evolved as well. Like, he had a rough start when he started with Tampa, but he's been way better. You know, he had a rough game in game one. He was challenged along with a number of other guys on that team. They've responded. And when you've got McDonough and Hedman on the ice, one of them on the ice virtually every shift, especially in crunch time, it's a tall order. Those guys they're legit. And, this is what you're facing when you're facing. It's a different team. It's a better team right now with Tampa than Toronto was.
I mean, Hedman's averaging like 26 minutes in this series. McDonough's like 22, 23 minutes in this series.
And if McDonough plays like this, now granted they are not the same players, but it reminds me in some sense of when the Ducks had Niedermeyer and Pronger on the ice, because they were always out on the ice. You had two number one guys that could dominate and dictate tempo.
Yeah, McDonough's not playing power play, but he comes back right after. As soon as the power play expires... He's on the ice for the next shift. You know, so he hasn't been. You know, they use Hedman on one power play unit. They use Sergachev on the other power play unit. So McDonough, at least last night, he didn't see that power play time. But as soon as the power play ended, he's on the ice with either Stroman or Girardi.
Let's go to Nick and Peabody. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
So I've been listening to the whole show. I've been on hold. No big deal. I would have been listening anyway for an hour and a half. I completely agree with everything you guys have been saying about the officiating, but we got to move forward from that. And like Cassidy said, we got to play through it. So bottom line, do you think Tuukka will hold up in this series? And what about the Bruins defense? They look like they need some practice in front of the Nets. I mean, McQuaid looked good, but Chara keeps getting burned. I don't know if he's tired. I can't figure it out with him. He's up and down.
Yeah, Chara didn't have a great game last night. I think McAvoy had some really good moments last night, and there was a couple other ones that maybe you'd like to have a little bit back. But Chara had a little bit of a rough time just in some different areas. Rask is down on my list as far as worries or concerns go. I mean, can he hold up? He's been very good. It's some issues in front of him. It's the puck management. I thought guys settled things down as that game went on and moved the puck much better. You know, the defense was under some fire because of the forecheck for Tampa and their ability to hold on to the puck and make the right play coming up the ice. They're going to be challenged now without Torrey Krug to be able to do that on a consistent basis. That Grizzlick took a good step forward last night in handling the puck and the plays that he made. You know, a good heady game. Kevin Miller was better in that area as well yesterday. You know, I thought, you know, with Char and McAvoy, there were a couple times where, you know, the Bees are pressing up the ice and guys are sneaking in behind them a little bit. You know, that was Kucherov. I don't know if they were on the ice for the Kucherov, but I can't remember, but they were on the ice for the Stamkos breakaway. You know, and that was right after, was it Johnson's chance? Yeah. So they were on the ice for, and it was right after Shallard had a great chance on goal. So the Bruins tied the game. It's 2-2 and Shallard was point blank and he was stoned by Vasilevsky. Yep. And then right after that, during that same sequence, Stamkos gets behind everybody and gets a breakaway. So, you know, you kind of lose track of some guys in certain situations. But defensively, in front of the net, that was certainly an issue for the Bruins in Game 3. Was it better yesterday? Yeah, until the game winner. You know, and that was a forward covering.
Yep.
So, and like I said, there were a couple of things that happened prior to that. But, you know, it for them right now, I mean, I laid out the list of areas right now for the Bruins. Can they continue to break the puck out and manage the puck correctly? Can they continue to get in on the forecheck and force turnovers by Tampa Bay? That's when they're at the best. Can they be tight in the neutral zone where they slow them down coming through that area? You know, can they be strong in front of the net? Rask doesn't come onto my list right now. You know, he might have a terrible game tomorrow. But he hasn't.
But through,
he hasn't through
the first
four.
He's
been strong.
He's given you
a chance
to win
every game.
And that's all you can ask, especially against a team like Tampa Bay, who in every one of these games has had, and you're talking about some of the, you know, the breakdowns in front of him last night and the breakaways.
And you're
he's come
about,
up with big saves and big situations in every one of these games.
You're playing against Toronto and Tampa. They were two of the top scoring teams in the NHL. Was Tampa number one? What was Toronto? Number three, if I'm not mistaken. Number three, scoring-wise, offensively.
Yep.
You're playing against some really good offensive teams, so you've got a huge challenge to be able to try to stop these guys. And I think he's, you know, in general, especially in this series, you know, if we're talking about Raz, he's been very good.
All right, let's go to Paulie. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
You're busy, all right. I've been saying they get the two toughest draws so far the first two rounds. You know, I got a few things, and I'm trying to make it as quick as I can. I got some answers for you. When Marshawn sort of saw the slow motion of Marshawn licking Callahan's face, and all I could think of was yuck. So they're going to call that yucking, 2-minute yucking penalty. The non-call, I can't believe it. You just cannot turn your head on that. That was a flagrant violation. It caused a turnover, and then the other team's end. He just can't allow that as a referee to go on. Now, I got answers for the lines. You got to pack it in up front. You really got to get your best two combinations, your first two lines. I would, and you got to light a fire in a couple guys' asses. And Marchand and Krejci are those two guys. I demote Marchand to the second line. I bring up Rick Nash, Bergeron, and Pasternak, the first line. Donato, Marchand, and DeBrusk, the second line. Third line, I got Riley Nash with Krejci and Backes. The fourth line, Heine, Kalali, and Schala. Those are your lines. Those are your best combinations to win.
All right. Thank you for the call, Paulie.
Haven't seen Krejci on the wing this year.
I lost track in there.
I saw third line Riley wing. Nash with David Krejci. So
here's
moving on the
here's
wing
the question. I mean, so you come into tomorrow's game. They jumbled the lines yesterday, trying to get a spark, trying to get a jump start on some guys, and you know, trying to get, you know, a little energy in some other areas. What do you do tomorrow? Do you go back with what you did in Game 7 against Toronto with what you know? Or do you go a little bit more drastic and maybe break up a top line and try to get some more balance and try to get some scoring from some other areas?
See, if it's me, and I liked Bruce Cassidy did in Game 7, but I do that, but I have to put Donato in the lineup somewhere.
No, so do I, Ryan, yeah. and I don't think he's coming out. I think he's going to be back in there. But the thing of it is, but I'm saying, do you go with some semblance of what kind of got you there?
Yep.
Or do you be a little bit more drastic? Now, if you feel that you should have won yesterday's game, I don't think he comes with the same lineup, don't get me wrong, but I don't think you go drastic and change the top line.
Yeah.
I don't think you try to, you know, take
Well, if that's
Pastrnak
the only line that's
Marchand
giving
away,
you production
Marchand
on a regular basis, so that's
going
not going. Yeah,
like in terms of playing together, they're going to stick together. That. They're just too good. Marchand, by the way, had two helpers yesterday. It was a beautiful pass to Bergeron. So it,
unbelievable.
You know, yeah. And then, you know, do you move Pastrnak with Krejci on that line to try to get that going, and then maybe switch? So that's a possibility. That's going on that drastic side of it. You know, or do you say, we played well enough to win this game. We should have won this game. We don't have to go drastic in order to win it. So that's the. I'm curious to see which direction they go, because you know you've got a couple of things here. You know, when Toronto wasn't winning, they went a little more drastic, right? They switched a bunch of guys, trying to get some guys going in different areas. You know, do you break up that top line who's been so productive in order to try to get more scoring from some of the other lines? Or do you just challenge them even more and say we need it, and you know maybe you put Donato up with a Krejci and Nash, or do you move Nash to a different line? You know, that's what they have tomorrow in front of them, and I'm very curious to see what direction they go.
Well, I kind of asked this of Billy Jaffe earlier, and I asked it of Joe Haggerty, so let me ask it of you as we have a couple minutes to go here. Is do you see a window for the Bruins to come back and try to win this series in seven games?
I mean it's not likely, but I do, sure. It's you know, I think that there's a blueprint there to get the job done. I've been very impressed with what Tampa's done in this series and how they've played. You know, they've done a lot of good things, and even the game that they lost, they did some good things in that game as well. The Bruins exploited them defensively and got open on a few occasions, but there's a way to, and I keep going back to that list that I gave you on yep. things that they need to do, you know, and if they clean up a few of those things, yeah, they can be successful. But that has to happen, you know, very quickly, and it's got to happen from the drop of the puck. You know, you can't be playing, you can't be digging yourself out of a hole every game. And unfortunately, that's the position that they've been in here recently, whether it's by chance or whether it's by a fluke goal or whether it's by a tough call, whatever the case is, you can't be digging yourself out of a hole continuously against really good teams and against a really good team in Tampa. And that's, you know, that's the hole that they've been in here over games 2, 3, and 4.
Well, we know, we saw it during the Toronto series, the fourth one is the toughest one to get.
These
usually,
guys have
so,
proven year, right? Game in and game out all season long. You know, the resiliency has always sure. been the word that's been used for them, whether it's within a game or, you know, dealing with adversity. They've dealt with a lot of adversity this year with all the injuries. They've been resilient within games, being able to come back and deal with issues that have propped up. And right now you've got some of those issues, whether it be a couple of injuries here and there with Krug and maybe with DeBrusk and some others. With tough officiating, if you got the raw end of a deal on a non-call yesterday, the ability to turn the page and the ability to, you know, play through it, you know, they're saying the right things, but doing it on the ice, different story. So we'll see what they've got tomorrow afternoon. And yes, they have the ability. Now they got to show it.
All right, guys, safe flight. We'll be listening tomorrow. 2:30 pregame, 3:00 faceoff for game 5 of this series between the Bruins and Tampa Bay. Stick around for Gasper and Murray coming up next. I will be back with you with Mike Flynn tomorrow prior to the Bruins game from 10 until 2:30. We'll talk to you then.